Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We are here on Facebook. We're going back to be talking about fasting. We're on our Blog Talk Radio show. So welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. And we are live on our broadcast and on Facebook. If you would like to call and be a part of the, be audible as far as on the broadcast is concerned, you can call 347-826-9658, and you'll be able to talk on here live. But we are so thankful for this opportunity. God gave us this so many years ago to do a foundational teaching and just to begin the teaching. And yeah, He's given me so many topics and subjects, and He's put them kind of in groups. And so this is our Building a Better Relationship with God series. And so now we're talking about fasting for spiritual growth. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. We started it off last week, kind of introduced fasting. Not that fasting is a new topic, but something some of us have gotten away from over the years. And sometimes some of our churches have even gotten away from. Some people are still fasting. Some people are still praying. Like I told them last week, you can pray all the time. Prayer is always in order. But you cannot pray, you cannot fast without praying. So I told them that, but you can pray without fasting, but you can't fast without praying. So that was one of the things we talked about on last week. This week, I told you last week, at the end of last week, we were going to be talking about the acceptable fast. And so we're going to go over in Isaiah 58, and then we're going to go in Judges 20th chapter in Judges, and we're going to talk about, I was asking the Lord, how do you want me to do this? I said, because, you know, fasting is fasting, but there are some things that God was telling me as I was studying and as I was praying, and so we're going to talk about those things today. Just so glad to be on the broadcast. I was in church this morning, had a wonderful service, and I tell you, we've been in a series in our church talking about the Bible hidden in a tent, and so Bishop has been teaching about the tabernacle and various things. We had such an awesome service. We've been doing that for this is 8 weeks now. And so we have been doing that, and so it's been such a blessing, and such a blessing to see the men of God going back to some of that good old teaching that we used to do years ago and those kind of things. He's an awesome teacher anyway, but we thank God for this particular series because it's been such a blessing, and so many people have been blessed by it, so I'm so thankful for the word that I got on this morning. And so anyway, but we're going to be talking about fasting because this is something I think that I don't really hear people talk about it anymore, about fasting. I don't hear people in churches calling solemn assemblies like they used to. You know, we used to fast oftentimes. The church would call, the pastor would call a fast, and we all would be on consecration, and we all would be fasting and praying. And so we just want to talk about it because some people new to the Lord really don't know, you know, about fasting and why they fasting and what's the reason for it and stuff like that. And so this is foundation teaching, and so this is who we endeavor to reach. Is those that are lost or those that are newly saved, to be able to help them build a foundation. And, of course, it's always good news for those of us that's been in the Lord just to get a refresh, you know. So that's what we've been doing and been so blessed by that. And so we're going to talk about fasting today, and we're going to start with Isaiah, the 58th chapter. But before we do all that, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your love, hallelujah, that you have for us, God, that you loved us enough to die for our sins. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you are our refuge and our strength and our very present help in the time of trouble. God, we thank you that you are shepherd and we shall not want. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and the world and the earth that they, the world that they dwell there. And we thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are light and our salvation, and whom shall we fear? And Lord, you're the strength of our life, and whom shall we be afraid? God, we thank you. We thank you for all the things that you have done in our lives. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, just for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for how you keep us and how you sustain us, oh God. And even when we're in dark places, Lord, you are our light shining in the midst of darkness. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we don't have to fear because you said you haven't given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And, of course, God, I'm asking you, Lord, that this word would fall on good ground, and those that hear it will run with it, Father. Lord, that we'll not only be hearers of your word, but doers of your word also. Lord, we'll be willing and obedient, and we'll have faith and works with it, God. This is my prayer. So, Lord, we ask you to bless us today. Let your anointing come forth, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, we praise you, glorify and magnify your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen and amen. So we're going to talk about fasting. And so I got a bunch of notes, of course. But we're going to talk about, we're going to read Isaiah 58. We will read that, especially verses 1 through 12 to start out and begin to just to talk about this acceptable fast. Sometimes we fast, you know, but are we really fasting for the right reasons? This is what God was saying when he talked about this. Well, are we really fasting for the right reason? And so we're just going to go through Isaiah 58, and we're going to break it down, see what the Lord is saying about it. I was reading this little Bible, but I don't think I'm going to do that because I'm telling you, these Bibles, I need to get some of them larger print Bibles because they're better for my eyes. Amen. So I'm going to pull it up real quick on this electronic device and see if this is going to work out. I'm so sorry for the glare on my glasses. I haven't figured out how to get that taken care of. But anyway, we're not only here to see me. We're only here to hear the word of God. So I thank God for that. But we were, as I was reading through Isaiah 58, I was looking how God was saying how people, it's not that they weren't fasting, but they were doing it such as a ritual. And not for the right reasons. And so God wants us to do things for the right reason. If we're going to do it, then we need to do it for the right reason. And that is what was wrong with Israel. They were wondering why that they couldn't get that they were praying, but they wasn't getting the prayer through. So they were wondering all these things. And so God just kind of broke it down to them. He told the prophet, he told them to cry loud and spare not. And so let's read it real quick. Isaiah 58, it says, cry loud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. And show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sin. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have ye fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labor. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to choose the band, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness and to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself far from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke of putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bone. And thou shalt be like a water garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and restorer of the path to dwell in. So then I'm going to read that, and that's 1 through 12, and we're going to stop there. But what I want, because I wanted to just kind of go through those particular scriptures and begin to and get back on to what God was really saying to them, because he's really saying a whole lot here. And so he's trying to get us to understand what type of, if we're going to fast, then let's fast for a purpose. Because he said, cry aloud and spare not, lift up my voice like a trumpet in Zion. And so when I was thinking about that, it said God speaks loudly and directly to the people to heed to their transgressions. But did they hear? Will they even hear? Do we even hear that today? Do we even hear that what God is saying to us today when he's telling us today, he's bringing this up today, because he wants, if we're going to fast, then let's do it in the way that God wants it to, a fast that he has called for us to do, and not so much what we want to do and how we want to fast. Well, I'm fasting because I'm tired of them, the enemy, I'm tired of them people bothering me, or I'm fasting because somebody done did something harm to me, or something like that. That's not what he's saying. Are we trying to get back at somebody? Are we trying to do something? We want a new car. We want a new house. All those things may be something that we want or need, but that is not what God is saying here when he's talking about fasting. When they fasted in the Bible, they fasted with a purpose. Either the enemy was after them or they needed God to move or God to do something. They wasn't sitting around there fasting just because they were just taking a fast like the Pharisees did, because even Jesus talked about that. Jesus talks about, he said, when you fast, why are you sitting up here with your face looking all sunken in, and you all sunken in because you want people to know that you fasting. Jesus said, wash your face and anoint thy head with oil. That's what he said, and don't appear like you're fasting. He told them, don't be acting like you're fasting, doing all that. He said, that's not what I'm wanting you to do. If you're going to fast, then let's fast with a purpose. Let's fast because we got something that we need from God. And a lot of us need God to move on our life. We need more of him. We need a deeper relationship with him. If you want to build a relationship with you, I remember David said, I think it's in the 68th Psalm, where he's talking about, he said, deep cried unto deep, because David was going through some things. And he began to turn, he began to fast, and he began to pray, and he began to go into a deep place with God. And so he was wanting God to do something for him. He was needing God to change some things around. The enemy was upon him. He was wanting God to change some things around. So he went into a season of fasting. And sometimes we think everybody wants to, like I said last week, we want to jump into these big fasts. We want to do a 40-day fast, and you ain't fasted. You ain't never fasted. You ain't never fasted. You ain't even been able to give up a meal. And so you want to jump into a 40-day fast, and then when you're not successful at it, then you're discouraged. But the thing about it is, it's not so much how many days you fast. It's that when you do fast, it is an acceptable fast. It's one that God is calling for. That's what God wants us to do. It's not so much about if you have never fasted before in your life. Then fast, you know, don't eat, you know, miss breakfast. You know, just fast from 12 o'clock at night when you go to bed, and then fast till noon, until lunch or something like that. Try that. Start out with that. And start a fast that you can, that's something that you can accomplish, so that you can begin to pray and hear from God. Because what I'm saying is, if you're going to fast, then you need to be praying. You can't be saying, oh, well, I'm going to pray later. No, you need to be praying if you're going to be fasting. That's the thing. But anyways, God was talking about them from this perspective, because these people were fasting and praying. But then they themselves were saying, well, Lord, we're fasting, but you don't hear us. We're fasting, don't you see what is really going on? And God was saying, it was kind of paradoxical, because it was like they were doing the right thing, but they were doing it for the wrong reason, or doing it with the wrong heart. And so that's what God wants us to understand today. If we're going to do something for him, then we got to have the right heart to do it. It can't be just any old kind of way. It just can't be because I want to keep up with what everybody else is doing. So-and-so and them, they always talking about they on a 40-day fast, so let me get on a 40-day fast. No, that's not what it's supposed to be. Oh, they doing a 21-day fast. I want to do a 21-day fast. What are you fasting for? What are you going to do with the fast? What is it? What is the purpose of it? A lot of people fast when they get ready to launch ministry. We think about Jesus on his 40-day fast. That was the launch of his ministry. That was the launch of his ministry. And the whole time he was in the wilderness, he was tempted of the devil. Moses went on a couple of 40-day fasts, but we got to understand, when Moses was on that 40-day fast and he was up there, he wasn't eating and drinking water. God, he was in the presence of the Lord. So that lets us know, when I thought about that, that when we get in the presence of the Lord, we don't really need all this other stuff. Well, all we need is to be in his presence and look at all the things that he didn't have to do because he was in God's presence. But when Jesus was fasting, Jesus did drink water, because it doesn't mention that he didn't drink water, but it does mention that he didn't eat food. Elijah went on a 40-day fast. Daniel went on 21-day fast, a 7-day fast, a 10-day fast. They went on several days. Esther was on a 3-day fast. And some of them just fasted for one day. Jehoshaphat was on a 1-day fast. Even the men of Israel, the Israelites, when they were in the book of Judges, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, they were on a 1-day fast when they finally decided to approach God the right way. That's another thing. Are we really approaching God in the right way? And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But let's continue on this because I can get way off and get into something and start talking about something else. But if we think about it, God was telling them, God said, first he described an appearance of a spiritual life, of a group of people that had this spiritual life, that they were, you know, they were doing the right things, they were righteous, they were all of this, but they were only that on the surface. That's why it's important for us to be able to really have the right heart if we're going to serve God and we're going to be saved, we need the right heart. And what in Psalms 51 says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And so we got to have a good heart if we're going to be in the service of God. We can't have this surface stuff. It's all, you know, just because I fast every Tuesday and all I fast and all of that. But are you fasting for the right reason? Is your righteousness, you know, what is it? Are you just doing it to look righteous? Are you righteous? That's the thing we want to say. Are you doing it because you want to look important? Oh, I read through the Bible from January to December. I read through the whole Bible in a year. But did you really understand what you was reading? That's the thing. Did you really get a clear conscience? Do you know that what's going on in Kings and Chronicles is also going over there, going on at the same time over in the major and the minor prophets? All of that is going together. Those prophets were prophesying during the times of the kings. So whatever what king they prophesied under is going on, they're talking about it in those particular books. So we got to understand, we got to be able to connect the dots when we read the word, when we're fasting, when we're praying. We got to be able to know all of that. So what he was saying was, he said, yeah, at first they appeared like they were righteous. They had this great spiritual life, and they were doing everything the right way, and they were doing all this. But then they even began to say, they said, why have we fasted, and we have not seen nothing from you, God? They hadn't seen anything. They hadn't begun to see God move. He hadn't answered none of their prayers. He said, but look, they said, well, we're fasting. And he said, and daily we delight to know your ways and to do righteousness and to take delight in approaching you. He said, this is what they were saying. They were doing all these things, but God was saying, yeah, but you, it's on the surface. It's just a ritual to you. It's not nothing with any depth. And what we want to do is when we're with God, we want to have depth. We want to be in that place with God. Like I said, we can be in his presence, and we'll be in his place with God. That's what we're seeking for. If you're not seeking for that, I don't know what you're in it for. Because, first of all, the Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all of his righteousness, not ours, all of his righteousness, because our righteousness is like filthy rags anyway, but all of his righteousness. So these are the things we got to understand when we're talking about fasting. Because he said, and this is what he was saying, he said, I'm going to see if I can move this over here so I can... won't be looking away so much. He said, in fact, in the day of your fast, he said, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate. He said, you will not fast. And he told me, he said, you will not fast no more as you've done this day. If you're going to fast, you want your voice to be heard on high, it is a fast, then you got to fast the fast that I've chosen. And the fast that God chose was when he said you won't exploit the people no more. You're not going to do evil to people and be calling yourself on a fast. This is not what God is saying. You can't be doing all that. You can't be doing all that cussing to keep out at work, and you're supposed to be on a fast. You can't be doing all that. You got to be, if you're going to be fasting, then be fasting and be praying and be trying to do the right thing and pray for the people. Stop being upset with people about stuff they done. Okay, they've done it. But, you know, we got to get over some things. Some of us been mad at people for ages. I mean decades. We got to move on, saints. And so, in fact, in the day of your fast, he said, you find pleasure in exploiting the labors. You find pleasure in doing all these things. He said, they are a bunch of empty rituals. That's what God said. He said, and the reality was that even on the day when they fasted, they still was doing stuff. They were exploiting the people. He said, y'all just doing too much. And he said, you were not doing it out of a heart of obedience. That's what God was saying to them in Isaiah 58. So even though they were doing, seemed like they were doing all the right things, but they didn't have the heart of obedience. And we got to have a heart of obedience if we're going to really be in this thing for God. We got to have a heart of obedience to love people. We got to have a heart of obedience to pray for one another. We got to have a heart of obedience. This is what we have to do, because if we don't have any of these things, then what are we really doing? What are we really doing it for? Because other than that, it's just like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Remember, that's over in Corinthians. But anyway, it says, how can any nation pretend to fast or worship God at all, or dare to profess that they believe in the existence of such a being while they carry on the slave trades and while they carry on all this stuff, and this was going on in that time. And so in this time, we're doing other stuff. There's other stuff that's being going on. But if we're going to indeed fast, then let's fast the way that God has intended for us to fast. Let us take on that fast. Because he was saying, he said, there's an acceptable fast. And so he told him, he said, finally, he said, you will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. The purpose of fasting was to glorify, their purpose of fasting was to glorify themselves and to make their voice heard on high. God says no more to that. He says, you will not fast as you do this day. It is a fast that I have chosen, and the kind of fasting God, and so the kind of fasting God rebukes here is hollow, empty, and it shows without any spiritual substance. So if you're doing a bunch of stuff and you call yourself fasting and all of that, and you're still doing a bunch of stuff and cutting up, still got envy and strife in your heart, and you're not trying to get, you ain't even asking God to deliver you from those things, you're just carrying it around. And so if you're doing all that, then that's not the fast that God has chosen. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, but he said, the people in Isaiah's day had the same problem, and that was in Jesus' day, the Pharisees, and they were fasting, but they were letting everybody know they was fasting. They was over there looking all sunk in and all that kind of stuff, the publicans and the Pharisees were, and so it was a self-righteous fast. It wasn't nothing that they were fasting, trying to get to God or trying to get more of God. They weren't trying to do any of that. They were just trying to fast so that they could appear to be righteous, appear to be religious. And God says, no more with that. It's time out for that kind of stuff. If we're going to do something, we got to do it with a heart of obedience, with our heart being right to God. I pray all the time. Every time I pray, I say, Lord, I want my heart to be right with you. Because if I'm going to be in this with God, then I want to be in it for the right reason. I don't want to be in it because I want to say, oh, I'm a Christian. I go to church. Oh, I fast twice a week. Oh, I do this. I read my Bible. I don't want that. I don't want to be that. I'm doing it because I want to know more about God. Just like he told Joshua, he said, meditate on my word day and night. He said, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. He said, because you want to know what God wants you to do. If you want to know more about God, you've got to get in the word of God. If you want a more intimate relationship with God, you're going to have to begin to fast and pray, because that's getting into a deeper place with God. It's where you can begin to hear from God. So, man, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, because I got to talk about that Judges 20, because I'm telling you, that was such a blessing to me to hear how God really, how God moved in that situation and how he began to show us how sometimes we say we hear from God, but really we done went to God with our own plan, and then we go to God and ask him about it, and God just lets us go on and do it, but then when it all go wrong, then we like, well, no, what happened? But see, that's the thing. It's so many times you hear people say, well, the Lord told me to do this. And then the next thing they'll say, well, the Lord told me to do that. I said, well, I just thought he told you to do this over here. Sometimes we're not hearing nothing from God, because one thing God is not is fickle. He is not fickle. He is not the author of confusion. If you're confused about something, that don't have nothing to do with God. That is the enemy. Or you confusing yourself, allowing the enemy to use you to confuse yourself. So anyway, let's get back to fast. I'm going to get off that horse. And so it said, it's not the fast that I have chosen. The fast that God has chosen. Okay, my little mouth is cutting up today. Anyway, the fast that God has chosen is to loose the bonds of wickedness and to undo heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free. And it says, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourselves from your own flesh. This is what Jesus is talking about and what God is talking about. He's talking about that we're supposed to help one another. We're supposed to help the hungry. And sometimes it just ain't enough to help the poor. Sometimes we need to teach them how to come out. You know what I'm saying? We want to give them, we might want to give them a basket or something like that. And that's all well, and all of that's wonderful. I'm not saying stop that. But what I'm saying is, are we even doing anything to help people come out of these situations so they don't have to worry about getting a basket on Thanksgiving or getting a basket for Christmas. That God will supply their need. God has already supplied it. So my thing is, are we helping people to come out of situations? And so I think this is what, because he said loose the bonds of wickedness. And so if you're going to loose somebody from something, that means they're free. And that's what that means. And so to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. These are the things that God is saying. If we're going to fast, then let us have those intentions to do some of those things for somebody else. Fast and pray for somebody else. Pray that somebody be healed. Pray that somebody be set free from sin and those kind of things. Are we helping somebody else when we're fasting? And then he said, share your bread with the hungry. Cover not, hide yourself from your own flesh. And he said, to start acting lovingly toward others. And this means that getting right with God continues by doing loving things for others. People. God is big on us doing stuff for other people. It's not just for us to get saved and for us to have, but it's for us to be able to be a blessing to somebody else. He said, give and it shall be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And he just don't mean giving in the offering. He just don't mean that. But are you able to share? If you got a whole bunch of shoes, are you able to give somebody something? Are you be able to give somebody something without charging them for it? You know what I'm saying? Are you? Some people ask me all the time, Denise, you ought to have a garage sale. I said, I don't have no garage sale. First of all, you ain't going to get no money in the garage sale. They're going to give you a few pennies. I don't feel like taking all my time to do that. I'll just give it to somebody. I would rather just give it to somebody so then somebody can be blessed with it, or give it to some organization so they can be blessing with a cause for it, because me, that's better than me taking my time out there trying to sell some something they're going to give me 50 cents for it. And so I don't feel like all that. But anyway, now I don't have nothing against garage sale, because you can get some good bargains at them. I'm telling you, you can get some good bargains at them. But I like to give to people so that people can be blessed. I don't have no problem giving my time or things to people, because I just want people to be blessed. I really do. And I remember saying when I was a little girl, this is funny. I said, well, maybe I don't know why this came back to my remembrance. I used to say I wanted to be able to bless people, to be able to handle their money so that even if they was on welfare, that they would be able to be successful with their finances and things like that. And then I said that when I was a little girl, looked like I've been attacked with mad forever. So anyway, it must be something to that. Evidently, that's something that a journey that I'm on. But anyway, I just wanted to know that are we fasting for the right reason? Because God said if we fast for the right reason, you know, they were fasting and they were appearing to be doing the right thing in the first couple of chapters of verses of Isaiah 58. But they weren't fasting for the right reasons. It appeared to be righteous. It appeared to be the right thing to do that they were doing. But God wasn't hearing them. He wasn't answering their prayer. But God said, if you fast the way I have set up for you to fast, if you fast for the right reason, he said, then your light shall break forth like the morning. He said, your healing shall spring forth speedily. This is what God is promising if you do that acceptable fast. And he said, and your righteousness shall go before you. That the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. We want God to answer us. Ain't no need fasting, turn on your plate for no 21 days, you know what I'm saying? And then you can't even get an answer from God. I'm thinking, oh, my God, why would you give up something and not be able to get what you need? So you want to be doing things in the right way. And then it says, you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst and the pointing of your finger and speaking wickedness, if you intend for your soul to be hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, do something nice to somebody else. He said, then your light shall shine in darkness. Now, you know what God is saying there, that even in your dark moments, because you are doing things the right way and because you are helping other people and you are doing what God is asking you to do and you're doing it out of a heart of obedience, even in your darkest hour, he said it's going to look like noonday. It's going to look like noonday. Things are going to be shining just like it's in the afternoon, even though it's your dark moment. He said because you got the right heart of obedience, you're doing things out of the right heart, and your fasting is for the right reason. You're not fasting for wrong reasons, but you're fasting. You're helping the sick. Jesus said it best, I think it's in Matthew, the 25th chapter, when he said, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. He said, when I was sick, you didn't visit me. He said, when I was homeless, you didn't come. So Jesus even talks about those kind of things, even in that particular chapter. I think it's in Matthew, the 25th chapter. But what he's saying here, we have got to be as Christians, as the people of God. We can't just look at the poor and the needy and act like we don't see them. And we just can't go take them an Egg McMuffin. That's all right. I'm not saying nothing against that. But what else can we do to let the oppressed go free, to help those that are going through? What else can we do? These are the things that we got to start thinking about, because in the way things are going in this country today, we don't know what's getting ready to happen. But we better be ready to be able to help somebody, extend our hand to be a blessing to somebody. This is an acceptable fast. As far as that the Lord is talking about. And he said, then your life shall break forth like the morning. And if God's people would couple their fasting with lives of righteousness and love, then they would see their prayers answered. You want your prayers answered? Put some love in it for somebody else. It says charity begins at home and then spreads abroad. So you got to understand that we have got to be able to do something for somebody else. Pray for somebody else's healing. I always remember Mother Gwen used to tell us, she said, "Well, son, maybe you need a job." And somebody got a job, and they get up and testify about their job. She said, "Get right up and praise God like you just got the job." She said, "And then God is going to bless you. He'll bless you because you are being thankful and glorifying him with somebody else." And so those are some of the things we got to do. Now I want to talk about, and it says, if you take away the yoke from your midst, and the point of finger and speaking witness, he said, God is going to bless you. I'm telling you, God's going to bless us for doing this thing. Some of these things we're doing, sinning by omission and commission, and we really need God to ask God forgiveness for in our time of prayer and fasting. But if you really want to see God answer your prayers, you got to begin to do things with a heart of obedience and with a heart, with the right heart and the right intention. It just can't be for the wrong reason, thanks. It's got to be for the right reason. Now I want to talk about Judges 20, because this blessed me really, because when they were, this is what the story is, and the background of the story is that Israel was Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, so they were broken. This is after they were in the Promised Land, and Joshua had just died, and so there had been a sin committed in the tribe of Benjamin, and so one of the Levites, his concubine, they were trying to come in to get him, is what they were doing. So they were doing some lewd stuff, is what was happening. And so then what happened was he sent out his concubine, and so they ended up killing her. They ended up killing her. She ended up dying, and then he ended up cutting her up. And he spread her in 12 places throughout the tribes of Israel. And so because of that sin that happened in Benjamin, all the other tribes came up against Benjamin. And it says, and so it's in the 20th verse, and it says, then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man, from Dan even to Beersheba and the land of Gilead unto the Lord in Mizpah. And so all meant that all of them, that is a great number. I think it was over 400,000 of them. And so I'm not going to read it all, but they, maybe I should. So we can get clear understanding what I'm talking about. Because when we're talking about this, and the reason why I'm bringing this up, because I'm talking about this is one of the times where one of the fasts that is mentioned in the Bible, and this is in the book of Judges. And so, you know, Judges is one of the books I read. When I think about Judges, I think about them doing whatever's right in their own eyes, because that's what is one of the themes of Judges. The people were doing whatever was right in their own eyes. And so they kept having these judges that would come, and the Lord would bless them, and then they go right back to doing the same stuff or doing something even worse. But this was a time where they had done something worse. And so, anyway, let me go over here because I don't see it. Anyway, that is a great number. So when he said all of them, meant all the other tribes, all the other 11 tribes came up against Benjamin, and they came as one man because, you know, they had laws and stuff that they had in the land, but they came up against Benjamin. And the thing about it was, and I'm just telling the story, and then I'm going to get to the verses that I really want to talk about. They came up against Benjamin because of that crime that had been done in that in the land where Benjamin was, where they were, where their tribe was stationed at. And so then what happened was they came up and they went and asked Benjamin. They said, "Give up the people that had done this thing." And so instead of them giving them up, they just didn't answer at all because they didn't think that their brothers would come up against them. And so they wasn't worried about it. They didn't give him up. They didn't do any of that. But what happened was that the people decided that they were going up against, they were going to go up against them. And so then here it is in this verse, and I want to read it. I cannot find what I just put all this stuff. Anyway, I'm so sorry, y'all. Anyway, let me get to my verse because I don't know why. I had it all highlighted and ready to go. So I'm not sure where it is, but I think I got too many things open, and so that's the problem. Let me see if it's right here. Maybe that's where it is. Anyway, so I want to read it. I don't want to do that because I want to be exact in what I'm saying about it. And okay, this is something. Okay, so it's not this. I'm going to close that out because I got too many things open evidently. And so that's why I can't find it. So anyway. Okay. Okay, anyway, let me go on because for some reason I don't think I clicked it off myself. So I'm not sure why I can't find it. But anyway, let me go on and talk about it. So anyway, so then in Benjamin, that is really frustrating me because I know, okay, here it is. I'm so sorry. Here it is right here. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so in the 13th chapter, it says that, and not the 13th, the 26th chapter, but that 13th verse, now therefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that they may put them to death and put away evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. Both the guilt and the punishment wherein all Israel will be involved if they do not punish it. So the rest of them were trying to save themselves from having to deal with the guilt of this punishment. So they said, let's come together and get this taken care of, because why should all of us be punished for what happened in this one tribe? And so, but they wouldn't hearken. They said, from their pride of their hearts, which made them scorn to submit to their brethren from a conceit of their own valor and from God's just judgment. It says, and the children of Benjamin were numbered at time out of the city 26,000 men that drew the sword beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. And so they were already numbered. And how does this agree with the first? So they were already numbered. That's a note. They were already numbered. And so they were ready for battle because they knew that they had already got 400,000 of them, of the Israelites, was ready. And so they were sitting up here and they were like, oh, my God. Okay, so they came to God. But this is what interested me the most. It says, and I'm going to the 18th verse of the 20th chapter. It says, and the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God and asked counsel of God and said, which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. And so the children of Israel, some sent by the name of all in the house of God. But what was interesting about it, they went up against them, and 40,000 of them died. And I was saying, well, Lord, where did you tell them to go if they wasn't going to be victorious? And then the Lord took me back to that verse, and it said they went up and they asked counsel of God, and which of us shall go up first to the battle. They never asked God if they should go to the battle or even if they should do this thing. What they had done was they had already made the plan. And I'm still talking about fasting. I'm going to get back to the fast in a minute because we're going to talk about it in just a minute. But they had already made the plan to go up against Benjamin. They hadn't consulted God about it. They just decided that they was going to go up against them, because they didn't want to suffer for the sin that had been committed. So they said, well, let us go up against them. If they don't want to bring the accused forward, then they all got to go. They were ready to destroy their brethren because of the sin that had been committed, and they went up against them without even asking God. But they asked God, who should go up first? He said, well, send Judah, but he always sent Judah first. Judah always went first because Judah means praise. If you think about Jehoshaphat, the praises went first. Judah went first. And so, therefore, he always told Judah to go first. And so, because Judah represented the praise, and a lot of times their battles were won just with the praise. Some of the times they didn't even fight, but because they went into that praise, God let them win the battle. So here they went up, and over 40,000 of them fell. So they came back, and they went to God again. And so they went to God again, and they said, in this is verse 23, it says, and the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening, and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother? And the Lord said, go up against them. Here we go again. He said, go up against them. And so here we go. They lost again. So many of them died again in that battle. And I was like, well, Lord, I'm just trying to figure out why you keep sending them up. So this is what I want to say about this. I'm going to get to the verse that really blessed my heart. Even in our own stuff that we do, how many times, because, you know, if we think about Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, where it says, trust in the Lord with all my heart, lean not to my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him, he will direct our path. That's what it says. And so how many times do we just go and then we ask God to direct our path? I think there's somebody trying to come in, because y'all can come in and help me with this if y'all want to do this, but y'all know what this is. But anyway, you can come in and try to help my path and try to help. Because what God is trying to tell us is we got to stop coming up with stuff to do and then make the plan and then go ask him about it. If we feel like it's something, we need to go ask God about it first and then let him direct our path and not us just go on our own and then want God to come into place afterwards. We want him to act afterwards and not before. So we got to understand what this is saying. And so here's the verse right here. In the 26th verse, this is where it got better right here, and this is where the fasting came in. It says, then all the children of Israel, and this is 2026 of Judges. It says, then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the Lord's house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And this is the only place where we hear even the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned. And he said they fasted, sensible of their not being truly humble for their sins, which now they discover to be the cause of their ill success. They were going up. This is the thing. This is what God's saying. You're going up trying to accuse your brother of something which they had done. But it wasn't the whole tribe of Benjamin, but it happened in Benjamin. So they went up against them, not considering their own sins, the own mess that they're doing. How many times do people sit in judgment about somebody else's stuff when you're doing something yourself? We have got to be careful that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us got stuff. I tell them all the time when I go up to their hospital, because they're over there and they got different situations, drug addictions, you know, addictive behaviors and stuff like that. But I tell them, don't let nobody make you feel like that God don't love you, because everybody got stuff. We all got things we're trying to overcome. And so the thing about it is, now that we're saved, God is strengthening us, and maybe we'll be able to do better, but we all are still working. We're a work in progress, everybody. And so we got to understand that. And so they didn't take that into consideration about their own sins. They just went and began to form allegiance against their brethren and to go and to really annihilate them. And that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to take them out because they didn't want to be punished for the sin that they committed, but they hadn't considered the sins that they were already doing. And so that's why they kept losing the battle. Sometimes when we're doing things, we might be losing the battle. Our prayers may not be getting answered, and God might not be moving on our behalf. Maybe we got some sin. Oh, hold on. I forgot to. Maybe we got some sin that is going on, and that is the reason why we have not been able to get anywhere. I had a testimony here just a couple of weeks ago when I was, you know, I've been looking for a job for over 3.5 years, and I remember Elder Harrison was on there, and she told everybody, she said, we need to repent. God is saying to repent, and repent for putting your mouth on people. keep your mouth off of people, so-and-so. And I admit, I just started repenting. I told the Lord, forgive me for whatever I've said about anybody. I said, Lord, I just went to repenting. I just went to repenting about things. Because, you know, if we think we don't have to repent on a daily basis, we fool ourselves. Paul said we die daily. That means he's shedding off stuff that is unlike God daily. He's trying to get rid of some stuff. And so we have got to, anyway, I started repenting. And I'm going to tell you, that same day, not another day afterwards, that same, because I meant it from my heart. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to be negative. I want to be positive. I said, I want to speak well of people. And also, and I'm still a work in progress, and I will try to catch myself and repent when I do something. I try to even make sure that the Lord will help me not say that no more, and please forgive me for saying it. I try to keep that in the forefront of my mind, because I tell you, the mouth, our tongue is a root of evil. The Bible speaks to that over in James, how it's untamed, and we got to keep that in check. And so anyway, but then that same day, I had two telephone interviews, not a face-to-face, two telephone interviews. And they began to do background checks and all like that. And then the next day, my background check, I wasn't worried about that because I knew it would go too quick, because thank God I'm okay. And so, but my background check came back, and then I got a text, because, you know, everything's modern nowadays. They ain't doing things like they used to. Anyway, I got a text that said, did you receive your offer letter? And so I got an offer letter, and I had been substitute teaching for almost 2 years. And, you know, and they don't make no money. It is what it is. They make some money, but they don't, it is what it is. And I'm thankful for it, because it was a blessing to me when I didn't have nothing. So I thank God for it. I really do, because it was a blessing to me when I had nothing coming in, and I was able to do it. And God still got me doing something, going to do something for children, because I learned so much while I was over there. Doing that, I saw such a need, because our children need help. We really got to get in there, and we got generations that we need to pass some stuff down to, that we haven't had. We really done our job like God told Moses to tell the generations behind them all the good things that God has done. Have we done it? No, we haven't. Sometimes we haven't. Some of us have, some of us haven't. Because when I hear children tell me that their parents have not introduced them to God and that they're atheists and they middle schoolers, that's a problem. We got a lot of work to do. If we really going to get these generations behind us to know who God is. Because we went on about business. We started getting things. We got better jobs than what our parents had. And, you know, we started getting houses and things like that. And sometimes we just kind of went on about our business, and we might give to charity sometimes, or those that have children, you know, they're raising their children up. But are you really telling them about God? Are you putting that inside of them so they'll know about God? Do you take them to Sunday school? Are you telling them to read their Bible? Are you telling them how to tithe and to give and stuff like that? Are you doing these kind of things? Are you teaching them about fast? Are you teaching them about praying? Are you telling them to pray? All of these things like that. And so these are some of the things that, you know, we have to really begin to do so that they can be blessed and they'll know about God. Because I'm telling you, if you go and sit, and I'm telling you, if you really want to know the state of the generations, go sit in some of them classrooms. Go sit right in there and ask them, can you come sit in the classroom and see what's really happening? If you go in there and sit, you're going to have a different thought pattern, a different opinion about it. And I've been around all races of children, so it just ain't ours. It ain't African-American children, but they lead in the pack. And so we got a lot of work we need to do, because we need to pour into these generations. We need to fast and pray for our teachers and for these school systems. If you want to put something on your fasting, your prayer list, and you want to put that on your when you fast, put that down. Pray for our teachers, our administrators, our bus drivers, our bus attendants, cafeteria workers, custodians, and administrators, and pray for and the children. I'm telling you, it needs much, much prayer. They might have took prayer out of school, but we still can pray. And we still can get the prayer through. I got a school I pray for every day. I'm praying for the parents to be saved. I'm praying for the children to be saved, because they need Jesus. And that's the only way they're going to come out. Because with some of the things I heard and said, I was like, oh, my God. So I'm telling you, we got a lot to fast and pray about. You just ain't got to pray about you getting no new house, no car. You got a lot of stuff to pray about and a lot of stuff to fast about. So you got to remember that it's an acceptable fast. Are we helping somebody? Are we doing? We got people that need healing. We need to see miracles in this day. Where is the miracles at? We need miracles to come, be coming forth. But Jesus told us, greater works shall we do. He said, but this is what he did. So he told the apostles, disciples. He said the reason why they couldn't cast the lunatic out of the young man is the spirit out of the young man, the demon out of the young man. He said, these kind go not out but by prayer and fasting. So if you want greater works and you want more anointing, you're going to have to fast and pray. That's what you're going to have to do. It ain't coming by osmosis. You're going to have to fast and pray and get in that word. You're going to have to fast and pray and get in that word if you want to see miracles come. If you calling yourself somebody, if this is what you're saying you are, then you got to fast and pray. You got to stay before the Lord. You got to. It got to come with fasting and praying. That's what Jesus said. Now, he said that's what it is. And so we got to remember that. But let me get back to this verse. I think I got way off someplace else. But anyway, so then this time, it said, then all the children of Israel and all the people went up and came unto the Lord and to the house of God and wept and sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening. Just a one-day fast. They went on a 40-day, went on a 21 days on a day fast and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And they fasted to get deliverance from their own sins. From their own sins. Everybody's calling me on the phone. From their own sins. They prayed and asked God to deliver them from their own sin and to make a, they did a burnt offering to make atonement to God for their own sins. Peace offerings to bless God for sparing so many of them, whereas he might justly have cut all of them off for going up against their brethren without even saying anything about it. It says, when their brethren were slain, to implore his assistance. Okay, so then they fasted, they prayed, they consulted God, and then God told them. So then they sought him again, and it said, when they sought God after due order and truly humbled themselves for their sins, he gives them satisfactory answer. And Israel, and so he told them, he said, to go up this time, and he was going to give them the victory. That's what God told them. And so there was, oh, what I said, of like 25,700 Benjamites. And when they got through with it, was only 600 left. That was only 600 of them left. All of them died that day. But God gave them the victory because what, and it wasn't so much about them dying, but it was about them going to God the right way. If we want to hear from God and we want answers from God and we want to be more anointed, we want these things, then we got to go to God with, first of all, a heart of obedience. We got to go to him in the right way. And we have got to seek God, and we got to go, not go in a judgment, talking about our brother this, our brother sister this, but we got to go and ask God to forgive us of our sin. We need to offer up a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice. We need to offer ourselves up and come to God in humility. He says we can come boldly to him, but we better be humble when we come. It's bold and humble at the same time. It ain't arrogant and bold. It's not come boldly and arrogant. It's come boldly, but you're still humble. So we got to understand that. So when we begin to fast and pray, what time is on my time? Oh, I'm getting there. And so my time is almost up. So I'm going to, does anybody on the line want to say anything? I got people that are on the line. Would anybody have anything to say? Okay, so I'm going to keep going. So if we want God to answer us and we want God to do, we got to do what God is asking us to do. We have to come to him with an acceptable fast, not that fast where we still doing all kind of stuff. And, you know, back in the day when they used to fast from certain foods as well. We wasn't fasting then going by getting us a cheeseburger after the fast was over. That was not what we was doing. We were really trying to eat clean. If we were fasting from sun up to sundown at 6 o'clock, we didn't run and go get us no cheese, no Big Mac, no two large order fry, no orange pop. We didn't go do that kind of stuff. We ate food that was still clean food, you know, something like that. But, you know, people still go and get them a rack of ribs and stuff after the fast. I don't know if that's right or not. I'm not gonna judge it really, but I'm just saying we need to think about those things when we are doing stuff. And so, you know, we just did things a little differently. But I'm just asking people, we gotta begin to fast and pray for our country and for the things that are going on in this country, as, especially for our leadership. And, you know, John McCain, I was kind of sad. I was saddened by hearing the law, his you know, that he had passed. And so praying for his family, for the McCain family, because, you know, whether they were Republican or Democrat, they have served this country, and he served our country even in the military and even as a senator for years and years and years. And so, you know, making some decisions that we might not agree with, some decisions that we did agree with. So, you know, we gotta make sure that, you know, we are keeping them in prayer and keeping that family in prayer, because it's something to lose a father and to lose somebody that, you know, meant so much, I'm quite sure, to their lives and things like that. But we have got to make sure that we keep them in prayer. And, like, even, you know, sometimes people die, they don't leave a will and things like that, so then all that drama starts and all everything. But there's so many people that have lost loved ones, so many people that got loved ones in the hospital that they are praying for, that they will come through. And a lady testified to me in church today and was such a blessing to me. She was talking about they called her and they said her son was dying, and that, you know, it was a sickness, and they said he was dying. And so I'm thinking she said that he was in prison. But anyway, when she got there, she said his head was really swollen, and she said she couldn't really get to him, but she just touched his feet. And she prayed over him. She said that young man, the Lord healed him, and he came home in 7 days, and he was healed. And so she was just testifying that to me in church this morning. I tell you, it was such a blessing to hear that miracle that it happened. So we got to understand God is still in the miracle working business. If you need a miracle from God, you just got to approach him right, approach him in a heart of humility, and make sure that, you know, that you're doing things for the right reason, out of the right heart. Let's get our hearts right with God. Ask God, Lord, make our heart right, my heart right with you. Whatever it is, Lord, that I need to clear out the clutter that has cluttered up my heart or hardened my heart. Lord, then, Lord, let every stony heart turn to flesh. Let this stony heart, the stones begin to be rolled away from my heart so that my heart will be right for you, right with you. And so I always make sure I pray for sinners. If there's anybody out there that doesn't know the Lord in the pardon of your sins, this is an opportunity for you to accept Christ. I pray that this word fell on good ground. But if you would pray this prayer with me, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner, and I am sorry for my sins and life that I have lived, and I need forgiveness, God. I believe that you are the only begotten Son of Jesus Christ, and your blood was shed for us on Calvary's cross, and you died for my sins. I am now willing to turn from my sin. Lord, let your holy word, I believe it, that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe that God has raised you from the dead, that I shall be saved. Lord, save me today. Lord, and fill me with your precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you for your unlimited grace that has saved me. And, Lord, I thank you for saving me and forgiving me of my sins. And, Lord, thank you, Lord, that I have a right for eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I feel like if you have prayed that prayer, that God heard you, and if you prayed it with a sincere heart, that God will bless you, and that you will find you a good Bible-believing church somewhere where you can continue to grow in the Lord. We thank God for each and every one of you that joined us today, whether you were on the broadcast, on the radio show, whether you joined us online, on the Internet, or whether you will listen to this broadcast later, or whether you joined us today on Facebook Live. I hope that you got something out of this, and make sure that when you get ready to plan something that you go to God first and seek him first on before you make the move in the right frame of mind. So thank God for each and every one of you. Join us back here on next week. We'll continue on with talking about fasting. We've got some more things to talk about, and we're going to do that. And I just want to pray us out, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we bless for every soul that might have prayed that prayer of salvation, Father. Bless them to find a good Bible-believing church. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, so that they continue to grow. Bless each and every one that was on the broadcast, whether it was on by Facebook Live, whether it was on the Internet, or whether it was live. Bless them and keep them, Lord, as only you can. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch them, Lord. Bless their weak, God. We plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one of them right now in the name of Jesus. And, God, I'm asking you now, Lord, to move mightily in their life. Some need miracles to happen, Lord Jesus. Some need financial breakthroughs, God. Some need comfort because they've lost a loved one, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to bless this nation, oh God, and the leadership of this nation, Lord. Lord, let them see the errors of their ways and come seeking you, Father, as never before. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you. And, Lord, we just bless your holy name, for you are worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. We thank you, Lord, for everything. We thank you, Lord, for your divine presence, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, for being our all in all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless one of you, and I look forward to seeing you on next week as we continue to talk about fasting. I don't know how many weeks we're going to stay on, but we're going to stay on until the Lord says something else. And so anyway, I know I got a couple more weeks on it. And then from there, I think we are moving to prayer. And I might touch on prayer a little bit because fasting and prayer goes together, but then somebody else is going to take us into a deeper place with prayer. And so we thank God for that. And then after prayer, I think it's humility. And then I think Elder Timberlake will be on with that. And I think Elder Russell's going to be doing something as well. I'm not sure what hers is, but anyway, I'll figure that out. And then probably Elder Dotson will be back on. Then I'll be back on. I pray that we'll get Elder Poston back on here because he was supposed to teach on fasting, but he moved to a different location. So God's doing some other things with him right now. And so we thank God for him. So God bless each and every one of you, and we'll see you back here next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast. God bless you.